on the lessons for the day. You can do the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, or it being September 21st, we can do the celebration of St. Matthew, the apostle, and the evangelist. So there's some choices there that churches will be making this week, whether they just continue with the Pentecost season or they step back and take a look at St. Matthew. I'm going to take a look at our lessons for today from St. Matthew. Now, there's two sets of lessons that that I particularly want to get into. One is Ephesians chapter 4, and the other one is Matthew chapter 9. And I think they're quite interesting in terms of what we can get out of it as God's people for the Sunday. In Ephesians 4, it talks about each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he had descended into the lowest parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens and fills all things. And he gave some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ until we attain the unity of faith and acknowledge the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, that we are no longer to be children tossed to and fro by waves and by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in all aspects into him, even Christ our head, who supplies all things for the body. So that's one avenue that we can take a look at in that God has given to us his word. And as he's given his word by the prophet, the apostle and the evangelist, St. Matthew, that he gives to us that word that we can follow, a word that we can follow at all aspects of our life. Because when we look at that September 21st, the church there is celebrating, as we said before, Matthew as apostle and evangelist. So on the one hand, he was a spoker. He spoke the word of God. He told the good news. On the other hand, he gives to us that word for us to follow. We thank God for the message message of Matthew was not limited to just those who heard him as apostle, but through the centuries we received this gospel to listen to. The other lesson, and the one that I wanted to spend more time with, was really the gospel of Matthew itself. In chapter 9, verse 9 and following, it talks about Matthew's call into the discipleship of Christ. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And it happened that he was reclining at the table in his house, and behold, many tax gatherers came and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why are you, your teacher, eating with tax gatherers and sinners?" And when he heard this, he said, It is not for those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It's interesting that chapter 9, we see that call of Matthew as quote, a sinner and tax gatherer. And just before that, you saw the healing of the paralytic in chapter 9, where Jesus is confronted on whether he could forgive sins or not. And of course, he says that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority. He told the paralytic, "Rise and go and make your way," that Jesus forgives sins. And then we get that wonderful, wonderful story of Matthew's call into the ministry as a tax gatherer. Now, of course, to us today, it doesn't make the, it doesn't seem that unlikely that Jesus is a friend to sinner. It's something that probably when we go to church each Sunday, we might even take a little bit for granted, because what do? That first part of the service is we make that confession of sins. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I've ever offended thee, and so forth. But we call upon it for God's mercy. You know, when I was up in Havana for about two and a half years, I remember in one of the morning Bible classes, I made the observation that it seemed like nobody seemed to object that every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, we would make that confession of our sins, that we are in need of God's grace and we're poor, miserable sinners. And in the back of the room, one of the ladies of the class raised her hand. She says, "Yeah, but we know what's coming next." And I said, "And what's that?" "That Jesus forgives our sins." Not that the pastor forgave the sins, but it was interesting that she said, "Jesus forgives our sins." You know, and of course, what does the pastor say on Sunday morning? "I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you, and by his command, I forgive you all your sins." It is Jesus who forgives the sins. And here in our gospel lesson for this next Sunday for St. Matthew Day, it talks about how Jesus has called to be among the tax collectors and the sinners themselves. If you take a look at the history of the Pharisees, because it's the Pharisees who are complaining at this point, you know, why is he eating with tax gatherers and sinners, is you need to take a look at the history of them. It reaches back about 460, 430 years. At the end of the 70-year Babylonian captivity, you pick it up in the last chapters of Ezra, where the people make that pledge to follow the law. You see the development of the Pharisees from there, and you can trace them historically, how they purify themselves, how they set up all their rites and purifications and things of that manner. If you were in the house of a sinner, if you were in the house of a Gentile, you had to go through a rite of purification for 3 or 4 days. You read in Acts, for instance, when Paul came back from one of his missionary journeys, before he entered the temple, he went through that rite of purification, not to offend the people in the temple, and then goes in and begins to proclaim to them about Jesus Christ. So this whole system is built up so that by the time you get to Jesus' day, it is considered a great offense to enter into the house of tax collectors, to enter the house of sinners themselves, or tax collectors were put into that because they were collecting taxes for the Roman Empire. So, you know, they were viewed as being bad. Not that we want to say tax collectors are bad today. You know, when I was in church this Sunday, I sat next to a fellow that is a tax collector and a good friend of mine, and a very devout Lutheran and believer in Christ our Lord. If you're interested in calling in on these lessons, or if you have a question that you'd like to ask, it's in the St. Louis area, 314-821-0850, or our 800 number is 730-2727. As we look at that Gospel of Matthew, though, in particular, we give thanks that God has reminded us on that special day, September 21st, the gospel bears his name. And there are many scriptural accounts or words or works of the Lord which are singular to Matthew's gospel. For instance, when you look at the birth of Jesus, we meet the Magi from the east who come to worship the baby infants. Only Matthew tells us of the death of innocent children of Bethlehem because of the wrath of the king and the flight to Egypt to protect a young child. Yet it's also St. Matthew who tells us the exact time when Jesus died upon the cross for our sins. And of course, that was right around 3 o'clock in the afternoon from Matthew chapter 27. And then Matthew writes, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks split, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tomb after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared to many. And when the centurion and those who were with him were keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this is the Son of God. So there we get the death of Christ from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And of course, all four Gospels talk about his death upon the cross. For it's there at the cross that we find that glorious exchange that God gives to us through holy baptism. It was in a couple of weeks that I was going to baptize my second grandchild down in Tennessee. And in that baptism, we were going to see that glorious exchange. It's a glorious exchange that we can take with us each day in our lives. In there, we take off the robes of our sins and are washed clean there at the cross of Christ, and we get the robes of Christ's righteousness laid upon us. And that's just the wonderful good news of the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Although each of the four Gospels include a good number of Jesus' teaching, St. Matthew is the only source of many of those that are found in his writings. For instance, the laborers in the vineyards. When the goodness of the owner of the vineyard is central to the story, Matthew shares with us parables that are lengthy, like the story of the wise and foolish virgins that are called at the feast of the bridegroom, and the story of the talents that were wisely or not wisely put to work. But probably one of my favorite passages out of Matthew comes also from Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus tells us this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he covered it up for the joy, sells all that he has to buy the field. Interesting parable. And of course, Tom's talked about that, Pastor Baker's talked about that before, and you can find it in his recordings of 2013. Well, where can I find those recordings broadcast from 2013, the Law Gospel? Well, if you go to his website, PastorTomBaker.com, and click there, you'll find a list of menu items. And there, if you click on the one called Products, you'll go to an item called Audio DVD. And there he has 2013 Law and Gospel, 197 broadcasts from 2013. So PastorTomBaker.com. And it's there at the kingdom of heaven is like the hidden treasure in a field, and a man covers it and sells all that he has to buy that. We might think, that it's us that have found this treasure of the gospel. That's been one of the interpretations. But as Pastor Tom has pointed out, that's not really what it's talking about. He in fact, he even goes back and talks about Professor Jeff Gibbs at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis, how we're really talking about a whole different aspect, not talking about it from our point of view, but from God's point of view. For when we read in Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us that we were dead in our trespasses. So there wasn't anything that was going to cause us to go out and find that gospel and then cover it up and buy everything that we have, but it was quite the reverse. If you look at it from God's side of things, the parable makes a lot more sense, that the man who has found that treasure is Jesus. And the treasure that he has found is us, that we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, and the treasure, or as we have said, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, he has bought us. And there we have that wonderful good news of Jesus Christ coming through in that richness of Matthew, that we are that treasure. He looks at each and every one of us as a treasure that we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful that good news is for us, that through that written word we have heard that good news of Jesus' death and resurrection upon the cross. So it is that when we look at things in our life and we say, yeah, I'm a poor, miserable sinner, I'm depressed, I'm having troubles, Matthew's gospel becomes a great one, especially that gospel lesson that he came to the house of sinners and tax collectors. What walk of life I have doesn't make any difference. Christ comes and enters into our life through that word. Whether it's through the pastor who's speaking that word, whether we are taking that good news or a friend is taking that good news of Jesus Christ to us. I remember many years ago, I went out to make an evangelism call with one of my elders in a neighboring city. And if you knew the road, it would had a lot of twists and turns and hills and things like that. And we're not talking like a few miles. We were talking about like a 20-mile stretch. And we were going to make that call. And I can remember the guy saying to me, he says, you have to do this because you're a pastor. I looked at him and I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, you know what the road is like from the church where the parsonage is at and where I live and where you live. And he says, yes, it's winding and it's hilly and it's all kinds of things. And I said, we had a severe rainstorm coming through that night. And he goes, yeah, that too. I said, I could have sat at home in a nice warm house and just sent the elder. But you are that precious because Jesus died upon the cross for you. And that makes all the difference in the world, is being able to see that also in your own life. You are that precious to our Lord Jesus Christ, that he went the way of the cross for you. Or as Matthew points out in there, that he yielded up his spirit and died upon the cross for us. It's also there on the cross before he dies that we hear, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Reminder, if you'd like to call in the St. Louis area, is 314-821-0850, or our 800 number is 730-2727. As we kind of continue on with that gospel, we're reminded that the stories and the parables and the accounts that are found on nowhere else are included here in Matthew. Matthew's filled his calling as evangelist and sharer of the good news. His gospel concludes with probably the most memorable words of all that we hear is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ is with us wherever we go. You know, in the midst of wherever we travel, we know that he is there. You know, my kids, one lives in Tennessee with his wife, and the other one lives out in the Washington, D.C. area. I know that even though they are far from me, yet they are still close because we share that faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's the same way with our families. No matter where they're at, Christ goes with us always, and he's called us to take that good news of Jesus Christ out there. He's called us to take and baptize the world around us. Maybe you have a friend, a neighbor, someone that you know that's kind of slipped away or doesn't believe. It's a wonderful opportunity for you to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And when they say to you, I can't go there, I'm a horrible person, I can't go to the church, you know, you need only take them to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus went to the house of sinners, and a reminder that Jesus goes with us wherever we go. That too, I can remember that happening. Wife was talking to her spouse about joining the church, and he said, nope, I can't go there. I'm not good enough, you know, and it's not a good place. And she looked at him and said, move over, come join us, because we're all poor, miserable sinners. But there we get the love and the forgiveness that we find in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in Matthew, we see, we get a good sense of that. Probably another image that we need to keep in mind when we look at at this day is that when Jesus walked on the earth, he gathered to himself a group of men, and the men left their work and their homes to follow Jesus. These companions of Jesus became disciples. God uses men in special ways, working through them to establish the Christian church, to preach and to record God's word. The first of these were the four evangelists, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The symbols that were used in the early days of Christian church was a winged man that much looked like an angel, and that was Matthew. In the gospel, Matthew wrote about Jesus' family, his incarnation, and the fact that he's both true God and true man. So when we go through the gospel of Matthew, we see there not just only the life of Christ, but the mission of his life, which was to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to each and every one of us, and tells us in a very special way that we are that precious treasure, as we said with the kingdom. God is like the one who sells his field and goes and buys that field. You know, St. Peter put it a different way. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You know, that's how special each and every one of you are, is that for you, Christ gave up everything. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there it talks about the Macedonian church. Coming November, I'll be out in St. John's Lutheran Church in Green Valley, Illinois. And we're going to be doing a stewardship sermon and stewardship Sunday there. And in particular, we're going to be talking about 2 Corinthians 8, where it talks about how the Macedonian church was very generous. And as St. Paul writes, is not that we had expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. That is, that any giving starts with a giving of ourselves to Christ. And no wonder, because when you drop down to verse 9 in 2 Corinthians 8, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, which again, speaks about the treasure in the field, sells all that he has to get that precious treasure. And that precious treasure is us. And you see it in the life of the Macedonian church. They caught the vision. They captured the moment. They understood that Jesus had given up everything for them and given to them eternal life, that you couldn't stop their want of giving and helping out with the Christian church down in Jerusalem, that he was there to take care of them. And so it is the same way with us when we look at the Gospel of Matthew, that Christ has given to us a wonderful personal example. Probably the other thing that I, when I look at the Gospel of Matthew, and I look at Matthew himself being a tax collector, there is that famous story about a tax collector, and that, of course, is Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19. One has to wonder when Jesus is coming through and Zacchaeus climbs that sycamore tree and Zacchaeus sees Jesus, you know, what went through his mind. Of course, I always like to kid around with people and say that Zacchaeus and Matthew probably went through to the same tax collector's convention and met, probably even talked about what's the best way to collect taxes. But he understood one thing, that Jesus received them. You know, they were considered outcasts, as we said, because of the Roman Empire. They were collecting taxes for the Roman Empire. And some of them sometimes weren't always honest about how they went and collected taxes. They collected more than they needed to. But when Jesus comes through Jericho, he stops at the sycamore tree and tells Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for it's your house that I must stay at. And Zacchaeus came down and received him gladly, we are told. And then we're told that the crowd begins to grumble because he too because he's gone to the house of a sinner. And Jesus, of course, when he looks at Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus first says, you know, if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll give back to him four times as much, and I'll give away half of everything I have to the poor. And Jesus says, salvation has come to his house, for he too is a son of Abraham. And to be a son of Abraham, of course, we go back to Genesis, which we talk about that Abraham believed and God credited to him as righteousness. It's the same way for us. As we believe, God credits it to us as righteousness, that he has given to us that wonderful good news of Christ to share with others. And whether Zacchaeus and Matthew knew each other, I don't know. But on the other hand, I'm sure Zacchaeus understood that Matthew was one of his disciples and Matthew had been a tax collector. And I think that's what we take with us when we go out and sharing the good news. And I think, too, when you look at the Gospel of Matthew and you look at Matthew's life and things like this, it's a reminder that we come out of many different walks of life and God gives to us that ability. A wonderful ability to go out and share the good news. And it doesn't have to be with all kinds of different types of flowery speech or doctrine or things like this, but enough to share the good news. For instance, when you read in John 1, Philip, after Jesus finds Philip, Philip runs and finds his friend Nathanael and says to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets speak about. What does Nathanael do? He says, can any good come out of Nazareth? What does Philip say? You know, he doesn't give to him a long thesis of what he should or shouldn't do or all the particulars of Jesus' exaltation and humiliation and all the things that he's going to be and quote the various scriptures. But he says to him, come and see. Each of us has our own ability, our own story that we can tell in law and gospel about the good news of Jesus Christ, that we can invite somebody to our church, invite a neighbor, a friend, a family member, you know, and let them know about that love that we have in of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it is, too, then, for us, you know, as Matthew went and baptized, called to, you know, preach the good news to all the nations, God gives to us that ability to bring people to church, for our pastors to baptize our children and our adults and take that wonderful good news of Jesus Christ to them. As we close out this morning, of course, want to kind of remind us that if you go to PastorTomBaker.com, you can pick up his website there. And there, under his products, you can pick up his audios that he has, his law and gospel of his 997 broadcasts. Some of those I kind of filtered in a little bit here and there in the course of our half hour with each other. Great resource that he makes available on that website itself. And on Tuesday, too, we remind you that he'll be back for his broadcast with the Hymn of the Day. And he's going to have Pastor Mark Smith from St. Louis coming in with him. So it's been a real pleasure being with you this morning. God bless. And remember, Christ loves you.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.